I'm starting it.
So we're all dead silent.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's counting down, so hopefully that means it's connected. It's not giving me that weird error message
Well,
like
hopefully that
before.
We've been on
means
for
it's
5 seconds
connected. It's not
now.
giving me that.
Okay, now
We've
how
been
do
on for
I.
9 seconds now. Actually, the whole show is this. So if you're listening, this is what you're in for. We've
Right,
been
I
on for
guess.
14 seconds
Okay,
now.
I turned the sound off so that I'm not constantly hearing an echo of myself now.
We've been on for 20
Guy.
seconds.
Okay, stop. I know this is. I said this was episode negative one, but that doesn't mean. Yeah, this is. I don't even want to call this episode zero of a podcast. It's just. This is my first time trying Mixlr, and I wanted to do something kind of fun. And the general idea that I have is, hey, let me get some of my friends together, and we'll talk about things that we're into right now, and. You know, so we'll see how the show evolves. We've got a fairly loose topic today of certain video games that we want to talk about, but if things go elsewhere, we shall see. And we're also running against the clock. We're only allowed to do 1 hour right now with my free account, so.
Those are
Faster,
cheapskates.
faster, faster.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Okay.
come on, we're losing daylight.
So the main one that's sort of the hot current topic that I think all of us are pretty excited about was the announcement recently of a new Silent Hill game being developed by Hideo Kojima and Guillermo del Toro, which is like it sounds like something that some little news site made up just for the sake of getting headlines.
Right, yeah, that's right up there with, my uncle at Nintendo said.
Yeah, like it's just it's unreal, really. By the way, did y'all see if it put it on Twitter that we're live, or should I hit the
Oh,
little
I mean,
button?
yeah, that's totally wrong. It's no,
Sorry.
not seeing it. It
Well
lied to
then,
you.
let me put. I'm pushing the button.
Better get your money back.
There we go. Okay, sorry. Now I know. So anyway, so I had heard all the way back in 2012 that there were rumors that Konami was going to Kojima and having him work on this, but you know, you never really know if. That's something, and then sure enough, next week it came up, and I was like, you know.
Yeah,
So,
well, a lot of times too, it could be real, but then it never ends up panning out.
true, true.
Right. Well,
That
and
happens a
Kojima
lot.
is one of those guys. I wouldn't be surprised if he made up a rumor that actually had no basis in truth about him taking over some sort of franchise, just because the way he tends to break the fourth wall and mess with people, it's just a lot of his projects are basically trolling the video game. And so.
Oh yeah, like any trailers for his upcoming games, I'm always like, yeah, okay, but what is it really gonna be? Because you
Yeah,
just
I've
can't
always
trust
liked
him.
that because he doesn't really, I mean, he always does that kind of fourth wall breaking thing, but he doesn't do it in a predictable kind of way, like say a M. Night Shyamalan or something like that. You know,
Right.
to where you roll your eyes when you see it. It's always something new and fresh.
Yeah.
To an extent. There was a certain part of PT, but we'll talk about that.
And I guess one thing that, because I know there's a lot of footage of the demo floating out around there, but I don't know if everyone entirely realizes it, even though it does sort of say it at the end credits. This is not footage of the actual Silent Hills game. This was literally just a proof of concept.
Right. It kind of disappoints me too, because I would really like to see, them go further with this kind of mood, this kind of atmosphere, even that story, that particular story about the father killing his wife and, his kids and stuff like that,
I
because
certainly think it's possible.
I don't know that you can really recapture that kind of mood when you've got an entire city.
To explore.
Right. The whole thing about that entire trailer was that, or teaser, or whatever we want to call it, is that it was the claustrophobic, repetitious nature of it. And I don't think you can really recapture that with a full. I think it was proof that, hey, hi, I'm Hideo Kojima, I can scare you, more so than, hey, this is what the game is kind of going to be like. And I know it said that it wasn't really indicative of what the game was going to be about, but in interviews, I want to say that I'm pretty sure that he said that it was going to be sort of an inkling of what kind of feel the game was going to go for. And it doesn't really make much sense how you can, keep that kind of that kind of feel going when you've got an open world.
Yeah, I could see maybe, like, I have a feeling what we'll get is something maybe akin to that, but it's going to be broken up into sections. So you'll go into, like, you know, how we'd have, like, a hospital level, we'd have, like, a, you know, a school level, a, you know, McDonald's level or whatever in the old Silent Hill games.
And I would love to see a Silent Hill McDonald's.
That would actually be interesting. I'd actually, and to be honest, I imagine there's some scarier.
Because I know they had the amusement park.
They're in three, when she's in the mall, I think, she goes to, like, a butcher area. Like, it's like the food court, I guess.
Oh, that doesn't count. McDonald's doesn't use meat.
And I think they did something in Origins, too, with that.
But
Origins,
I see
is that a game
doing...
in the Silent Hill series? I've never heard of that one.
Your selective memory has erased it from your brain.
Not exactly. Well...
But I can see them doing something where you'll have these sections that individually they'll be crafted to, you know, have that type of atmosphere that we saw in PT. But as a whole, that yeah, it's going to be a series of peaks and valleys. I can't imagine you having like a 10-hour game or however long it is, you know, something
How
like
long
what we
are
saw
in- games these days anyway? Are they still 10 hours or are they more than that? Or are they less
really
than
depends.
That?
It depends. It's all over the map now. I mean, it used to be everything was trying to go for like, you know, 20, 40 hours. And now it seems like 10, 15 is for a good action game, you know.
The main theory that I'm seeing, and I don't know if he's confirmed this in any way or if it's just people assuming, is that you're probably going to be like a paranormal investigator kind of thing. So by that token, you would not necessarily always be doing that same cyclical kind of thing, but maybe each area that you go to explore will have its own little device kind of like that to create. Right. 'Cause I think that's one of the main issues with a lot of the older games is that they start off really creepy and scary, but after a while, after you've heard those noises and those seen those monsters so many times, they kind of stop being scary. So
that
if you were
like
to keep
your air conditioner kicking on?
Yes, exactly. That's Lisa. She's pissed. We need to hurry.
Well.
I think it would...
you bring that up because one of the things that I keep hearing is that, well, as a fan theory, I've heard it a number of times. They say that they think that it's going to be you're a paranormal investigator or somebody who gets caught in other people's Silent Hills, because the whole premise of Silent Hill is that the town creates your own personal hell, basically.
And you know, that's the kind of interesting thing is that they're sort of that was created by two. But 1 and 3, that's not really the case.
I don't know. I disagree. Because 1 is sort of Alessa's kind of projection of her own suffering, her own hell. I get that it's not the town sort of taking Harry? Is that his name?
Yep.
Yeah, Harry's guilt out on him so much as it was, you know, him stepping into her altered reality.
Yeah. And again,
which,
3
know,
is a return to that, of course.
Right. And, you know, it seems like that might actually be a return to form if it is a character going through other people's, you know, personal hells or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it's as effective as a story, you know, because whenever I view the PT teaser as you playing the guy who murdered his family, I feel like it's a lot more effective as a story than if you're just some poor sap who got stuck in this house.
That's kind of what my fear was when you started, because I hadn't heard the paranormal investigator theory, but hearing that makes me slightly less excited. I'm still super psyched for this project, don't get me wrong, but it's something like, because it's something always interesting about the Silent Hill games is that, generally speaking, they've been about more or less normal people and just the hell that they create, or at least the better ones have been.
Right.
And if you just have like a guy who's like, oh, I know what's going on, or at least, you know, seems to act like it, I think that's going to rob some of the horror from that.
As far as I know, it's not necessarily that Kojima has confirmed that. So it could just be that people are just kind of assuming because you can't really interact with the world at all. that maybe that's what they think. Like, it's just this kind of investigator with a camera walking around trying to capture everything.
Honestly, you know. I think PT worked so well because it was such a contained experience. And I don't mean to be all cynical gamer.txt here, but I really don't see how Silent Hills can possibly live up to, you know, that experience.
I don't know. I mean, I think, because to me it was, you know, the really trudging footsteps, the claustrophobic nature of the halls.
The bad lighting is what really got me.
Well, and
that was really good. Well done.
What amazed me, and I know it's partially the repetition, but I even got scared when suddenly everything was lit up. Like, wait a minute, everything's different. This is bad. Something is gonna happen, you know? It was just this constant sense of dread the whole time I was watching it.
Well, what was most effective about it was that they did the pacing perfectly, I felt, with getting you comfortable and familiar just to the point where it was starting to get boring, and then just slightly changing details and making small things happen to really make you uneasy. And then from there, you know, obviously it ramps up into the really crazy stuff that goes on. With the, you know, the child in the refrigerator and all that stuff.
Oh, man.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is one of the... I generally speaking, I'm pretty cynical as far as horror goes. It takes a lot to really kind of spook me. This one actually spooked me. There are moments where... And it's some of it was just the most obvious things where you see, like, the crack in the door and you... And then, you know, you look at it and you're waiting and and then runs by or whatever and slams the door shut. Yeah, it's one of those things where I just was like, that I don't know why, because that was so obvious that was gonna happen. I even told myself, but so when it happened, it made me jump. It literally.
I like how the jump scares that they did put in, because I hate jump scares, but I like that the jump scare that they put in, they telegraphed it so obviously, but they did it in such a way to where it wasn't as expected, because you have the radio voice saying, turn around. I said turn around. And so you're like, okay, if I turn around, there's going to be something behind me. And so you turn around and there's nothing behind you, and you're like, oh, okay, whatever, it was just the radio. And so you turn back around, and that's when they get you with the jump scare. You know, that was just like a playing... I love how they played with the expectation.
And to me, so that's why I'm thinking, even if you're not trapped in this one house, I still think they can do a lot with that.
I suppose. The thing that I'm worried about is that you start to get a certain nerve fatigue, I feel. It's the same thing with, like, you know, your early Silent Hills. They're great at creating an atmosphere of dread and tension, but after a certain point, you know, you've seen everything that it has to offer. And there are only so many ways that you can scare a person. You know, like Silent Hill 2. You know, the first time you see one of the patients, one of the cockroach, you know, people who pulls their chests open. You know, the first monster that you encounter.
Mm-hmm.
It's freaky as hell. You know, the first time you see the mannequin legs, it's like, oh my god. But yeah, by about the 25th time that you're encountering them, it's just like, okay, I'd like to get to the key, please. Get out of the way. Yeah.
Well, that's why I think they've got to change it up. And I think when you've got somebody like Del Toro designing your monsters, number one, and then somebody like Kojima who has these usually very original, you know, methods of breaking the fourth wall and stuff like that, I think that they at least have the possibility to keep it changing and keep it fresh. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they will. I mean, you know, it's hard to say, but...
And it's going to be about pacing, really, more
right,
than
anything else. Right,
right. And, I mean, they've shown that they can do it, for sure, but at least only in, like, an hour and a half, two-hour experience.
Right, so I think if you... PT, I mean, I can't imagine them wanting to do... They're not going to do that for, like, the entire game. I mean, that would just... But I could see them maybe doing something like, this is, like, what we want to do, except we're going to stretch this over a 20-hour or however long play experience.
Mm-hmm.
And, there might be more moments where it's going to be more intense than others, but that's one thing I liked about PT was that it actually really did kind of build up and ramp up really fast, and then it kind of slowed down again. And that, at least... a little bit to, you know, there, and where, you know, it's going to hell and everything's red and crazy, and you're just like, what the fuck is going on? And then it's, then it kind of goes back, and it's still creepy, it's still, you know, unsettling, but it, you know, it kind of lets you, you know, have a moment where you can, you know, calm down and kind of get back into, like, okay, I'm not just trying to run through these halls as fast as possible because I'm freaked the fuck out.
And right. You know, I would imagine, because it's Kojima, we're probably going to get a lot of cutscenes. It's probably a good guess. And that's probably your time where you can kind of take your breather and sort of slow things down before you get back into exploring again. I would guess. I don't know. Could be wrong. Could be that we end up watching a horror film for 15 minutes and then finally get back to the game. I don't know. But
now, I know that you had said that it had terrified you, Angie.
Oh, God,
you,
yeah.
You hadn't even... The playthrough that you watched, because you didn't have a PS4, the playthrough that you watched didn't even have a single instance of Lisa attacking.
No.
And that still freaked you out.
Well, it was... Like I said, it was just this, like, mounting dread... Right. And not knowing what to expect, because I knew that that repetition of going through those same halls was trying to lull you. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, sometimes it would get really dark, and just, I had no idea what to expect, and it just, I was freaked out. I had to keep pausing it and walking away for a while, because it
Even watching it after knowing what to expect, you know, it's still a very harrowing experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, PT should stand for post-traumatic almost. Cause, you know, it's well done. It's very well done. And I usually don't like horror very much. But yeah, I'm kind of drawn to it in a way. To, you know, I like reading about the synopses of the things. I like hearing about the creative process behind it and the idea of it more so than actually watching it. You know, that goes for movies as well as most horror games. Because I hate jump scares. But yeah, this is something that I could... actually see myself playing if I had a PS4.
Yeah, this is the game that's probably going to make me buy a PS4.
Yeah. So. I'm still kind of like, well, if it comes out for PS3, I don't know. Like, I'm sure they're going to list what the differences are.
See, I don't know. You know, whenever they got games that come out on, you know, the previous generation and the current generation, I would always sort of gravitate toward getting the definitive experience, you know, because it seems like you just buy it twice. You'd end up buying it because you're eventually going to get the next system. You know you are.
I guess so. I don't know. I'm kind of...
honest, this is the... I mean, there are games on the PS4 right now that I'm interested in, like, but they're not ones that I feel like I have to get. And I've been playing a lot less console games. I've been playing more PC stuff lately, so...
Same here, yeah.
So for me, it's like... Well, maybe if they get, you know, if it wasn't for something like this, I think I could easily see myself maybe kind of not getting it. I wouldn't say I would never get a PS4, but it wouldn't necessarily, it went from something like, oh, I should get that one day to it becoming a priority. And to be honest, if it wasn't for this game with this pedigree that it has, I don't know how much of a priority it would be until probably it had a price drop or something.
Right.
Sony should start sending him direct paychecks. I mean, how many systems has he sold with his games?
Well, yeah, because
I did buy Metal Gear Solid 4 and PS3, so that's
right.
But granted, you know, for 5, I was like, eh, they're gonna make a PS3 version. Like, it's good enough. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I disagree with that.
Metal Gear Solid 5 was one of those things where I kind of looked at it and I was like, doesn't look like my Metal Gear to me, so
That's true too.
I mean, it's
probably a fun game, and I will probably pick it up at some point, but it wasn't a priority.
Are there still two of them, or was that a Kojima?
No, there's the little short prequel, and then there's the new one coming out, and I keep forgetting. I think Phantom Pain is the... God, I don't remember if that's the prequel or if that's the later one.
I think Phantom Pain's the full one, but I won't swear by that.
And of course...
Four was supposed to be the last one.
Yeah,
and that's right,
what
he
was
going to
do, yeah.
And of course, see, the other thing that kind of does Baron Silent
Hills...
It's the
last one until they offer the money, yeah.
is that the prequel has a notoriously super gory scene.
Oh, the bomb in the stomach.
Right, that they're digging out of her stomach, and I'm like, oh, man. Because he said, you know, over and over again in the promos, he wants to disturb people, he wants to make you want to stop playing the game, and I'm like, oh, please don't go
the super said gory angle. Was that about Metal
that,
Gear?
Or
was that
no, about Silent Hills. Silent Hills. That's
what
he's saying.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I think the direct quote was something
so
like,
I have a feeling that Gore...
care if you don't want to finish it.
Gore may be one of his devices that he may use, which...
Gore rarely bothers me. So that, to me, that's... to me, the horror I tend to get the most visceral reaction from tends to be more about tension and atmosphere and slowly winding you up and then having the scare, you know?
Yeah, I agree. It's
gore
bad.
Gets to me, so you can tell me when to close my eyes.
Okay.
Well, I guess, like, the main thing for the gore is, like, if I have to do something like that where, like, I literally have to dig through a body or... So that might get to me more than just seeing gore, I guess.
Well, yeah, the big quote is that he wants to make a game that'll make you shit your pants, and they actually said that the special edition of the game may have a clean pair of pants.
They're not really going to do that.
Oh, I wish they would. I hope they do.
Because what, you're going to have to buy pants in your size?
I could see Kojima pushing Sony to, or Konami to, or, to do that.
But, I mean, to me, it's like, what does that even mean?
But have a joint project with Murano or something.
I've been scared enough to scream. I've been scared enough to run. I've never been like, oh God, I'm about to have an accident right now. I don't really know what kind of reaction that gives you.
Well, this might be your time. It might be coming. So are they saying late 2016? Is that what I've been seeing?
Oh God, is it really that far off? I don't know. I didn't look.
See, I wish they wouldn't. I wish they wouldn't announce. I like the Nintendo model where they just tend to be like, "Oh, by the way, in like 3 months we're releasing a whole new system," or whatever. And they're, you know,
like the old school Nintendo model. Oh, hey, go to your store. This game's out now.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way: if it isn't coming out till 2016, then we may get that price drop before we buy a PS4 after all.
I don't know. I mean, that's just something that I've seen a couple of times, and I don't even remember where I saw it, so don't take my word.
Okay.
For
well,
it.
I mean, and of course, the other thing is too: no matter what time they're saying, there's always the chance of it getting delayed. Yeah. Always.
Right.
So, and it's I'm not sure going to get bumped up. You know what I mean?
And,
now you know that he downgraded the graphics on that PT teaser.
I heard
He downgraded it to 30 frames per second, and also the textures in the game to make it more plausible that it was an indie studio that made it. Because
because he didn't want anybody to know.
Yeah, they really wanted to hide his involvement in Konami.
Like the lighting, he also they purposely tried to do it a little bit more poorly than what you would get, you know, from the Fox engine. Which it's a nice touch. I love when, you know, stuff like that. I wish I had a PS4 and I could just download this without having the context of knowing what it was. It's one of those things where unfortunately I don't have a PS4, and by the time I did, even if I did, odds are I would have had it spoiled long before I had a chance to.
Now the video that you watched of PT, was it one of the ones with one of those idiots screaming all over it?
No, I watched one where it was silent. Though it was obviously somebody who had played through it more than once.
How long was it? Was it like 17 minutes? Because that might be the one that we watched.
I can't remember. I thought it was like closer to 20 minutes. And then there was like a part two that had like the very end of it. And then the
Oh, shit. Yes, you watched a different one. Okay.
So with the Norman Reedus part.
I was looking for, because Jack pointed out to me that I hadn't seen her actually, you know, get you. So I was looking for that. I saw somebody had a playthrough for 3 hours and 34 minutes. What were you doing?
Well, that's the thing. There are so many small details, apparently, in this demo that change and that are added and that are on, you know, notes on the wall.
And you have to trigger it in a certain fashion, I guess?
Right. I mean, the guy that we watched, it was a 17-minute playthrough, and the dude is literally just jetting through the whole thing.
True.
Yeah, and that's the kind of the problem I had with the one I was watching, even though it was a longer version than I think what you had watched, I was just kind of annoyed because it was like, he clearly was just going, he like had played through it probably, you know, half a dozen times because he was just going to things and like, you know, like the whole, when the phone's ringing and then you go and you, the like the hello above the phone is written there and then it
right
slowly,
yeah, you gotta keep looking back and forth at it
back
to
and
change
forth.
The
and
letters
he was just like
over
he,
to write hell on the other side of the wall,
yeah. Right, and he was going back and forth so fast and it was so obvious that he had knew exactly what was going to cause that to the next
right.
section to lock or whatever
was, that was that ours was like, too
I was like, oh well, that's kind of disappointing.
I'm gonna go ahead and give a free promo to someone. His name on Twitter is Tortoise on Tour, and he's a big Silent Hill fan in general, and he went out and bought a PS4 just to play this demo, and he has been studying it like crazy. It was so funny the other day when he finally figured out how to beat it, because people have been beating it, but nobody's been knowing exactly what triggers.
Yeah, there's nothing that they can... they figured out up until this point, obviously.
So,
to,
like I said,
know, reliably rebeat it.
He figured it out, and he's been compiling all this footage. And I want to say he's either gonna put it up on YouTube or he's gonna stream. And it sounds like he's gonna try to show off as much as you possibly can and explain it. And so I've been following him and just listening to all the little tidbits as he's been figuring out, and it's fascinating. But I'm looking forward to whenever he puts that video up, because I think it's going to be pretty detailed. And
oh yeah, that's going to be like candy for me, because I looked up everything I could find online about it after I watched the video, because that's the kind of stuff that I really sink my teeth into.
See, and I'm kind of the exact opposite. I'm kind of going, being a little hands-off on it, just because I kind of want to be surprised. And even though I know that this supposedly doesn't have necessarily anything to do with the game that will come out, but at the same time, I have a feeling there's probably going to be clues and stuff like that, and I really don't want to have too much of a, like, you know, head start.
I don't think I'd be too worried about clues, because they made it pretty clear that this has nothing to do with what the final product's going to be.
But Kojima.
Well, I know. I understand that, but I also know marketing jargon, and
so
I wouldn't be worried about that.
I don't know, because he's lied before, so.
It's true, but he's not going to spoil the entire fucking story, you know?
Well, no, but he hasn't given a whole lot about the story.
Yeah.
Just as a standalone demo, I'm really interested in every detail of it, because obviously Kojima puts, you know, extreme amounts of attention to all the small details.
Yeah.
You know, and I have a lot of respect for that kind of approach. So I like to give it its due by, like, really, really digging into it and seeing, okay, well, how deep did you go? You know, because it sounds like it's a pretty intriguing story that he's got there.
No, I'm super excited for this. I think it's going to be a great game no matter what. I mean,
a lot of people, too. Oh, I'm sorry. Go on.
No, go on. I didn't have
a lot of people said that they think that the ending monologue, you know, Dad was always so boring. You know, I was dying of boredom anyway. It's supposed to be kind of a meta statement about Silent Hill, the series.
I can see that it's become stagnant in a lot of ways.
I'm not even going to pretend like I picked up on that until I read somebody else's opinion on that.
No, but that's pretty much what I figured.
Yeah, because there was kind of a lot of those. I haven't played a lot of the more recent ones, but what I've seen of them, they do seem to be like, well, what's the obvious? Okay, this guy went crazy and killed somebody, and now he feels bad or something like that type thing.
Yeah, Homecoming and Downpour in particular, I would say, are such an obvious attempt to try to get back into what made 2 so strong. And
I disagree.
Don't really feel didn't succeed.
Homecoming is much more about the combat than it is about the story to me.
But the story is essentially like James's story.
Yeah. It's a watered down, you know, for the masses type. That's the only one I've actually, the recent, like, next previous gen, I guess, you know, games I've played, and that one was not good.
Yeah.
It wasn't good, I know that.
I mean, you're right. It was way too much combat, but I think
the
story
the
they
story
were trying to tell was still this guy who couldn't remember who he was, couldn't remember what happened to him, and it's only through going through the whole thing and,
Where I disagree is that the story is so convoluted to the point where it seems to be convoluted just for the sake of making it seem like it has more depth than it does.
I think it's just a poor attempt at telling.
There are four families, and so, or however it went,
Yeah. Well, you know, and of course it's like, and here's Pyramid Head, because gotta have Pyramid Head, you know.
Right.
So.
Well, he was the Butcher in that one or something, right? Or was that Origins?
I think Butcher is Origins.
They all fucking
But one of the alternate endings in Homecoming was that you could become a Pyramid Head. I'm pretty sure.
That's right.
Because now it's just the generic boogeyman instead of me.
Right.
Anyway.
Those games never happened.
So, yeah, we need Silent Hills. We need a refresher for this series because it's kind of fallen off the rails.
Just a bit. Yeah. Actually, one thing that struck me was, like, the concept of just being in a locked, like, well, hallway type situation that just repeats. That reminds me a lot of what I kind of expected part four to be like. And obviously it wasn't that, but I kind of really expected something where basically, you know, you're in a set, you know, area and creepy shit happens to you. To be basically, that's what I thought part four was going to be about.
And
there's an interesting topic.
There is... Well, that's the best part of part four, really.
Yeah, part four. Or what didn't work for that one for y'all?
I haven't actually played it. I'm just kind of familiar with... I've seen, like, a little bit of playthroughs, but I haven't actually played
the...
that.
Sorry. It's been a while. I just remember that all of the points where you would keep going through that bathroom portal and into Silent Hill just were not anywhere near as interesting, and... The stuff in the room itself kind of... There were creepy moments, but it just wasn't that scary.
So the parts where you left the first-person view were the parts that you didn't like?
Pretty much. They were just generic, you know,
so
here's some creepy monsters, run away
parts,
or kill them.
The parts where you went into a game that was more resembling of what Silent Hill was... were the parts that you didn't like.
Because it was less inspired. There was nothing new. It wasn't creepy and scary like 1 and 3 were, or 2 for that matter. It just...
Right.
It was Silent Hill, but there was no real tension or fear to it. Whereas at least when you were in the first-person perspective in the room, there was the potential to do something new and different and scary. And of course, the other thing was, you could always... jump back into your room and your health would be fully refilled.
Right.
So there's no more survival to it.
So the reduction of risk, yeah.
Yeah, there's... What's scary about it if, you know, I can just go... basically go back to the checkpoint and heal up and then go back in.
Well, and for me, I've always found first person to be a little bit scarier than third person. And it's not... I'm not saying that you can't do, you know, horror and third person... But I think when you're limiting your scope of what you can see to what's just ahead of you, there is something a little bit scarier than when, oh, I can see somebody, you know, walking up behind me, I better move, you know.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think the very almost definition of third person is that you can kind of separate yourself from that character, whereas when it's first person, it's very easy to think of it as you're looking through your own eyes and seeing...
Right.
This world, yeah.
I think that PT wouldn't have worked quite so well if you'd have been able to actually see yourself in the mirror.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or if you would have seen the guy's, you know, head and shoulders in front of you at all times.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't have worked at all
if
it was a third-person perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, PT.
Yeah.
Let's move into another game that's also first-person perspective and also has some creepiness to it. This one's not as recent, but it's recent for Jack, at least.
Yeah, when did it come out?
I think about a year ago?
Yeah, I want to say it was last year.
Okay, so for me, that's extremely recent. considering the vintage of games that I usually play.
Right, right. So, I haven't played it since last year, so I may be a little bit more out of this, but I still remember at least some elements of the game, and we should probably say what that is, that being Gone Home. So, I know JD also replayed it.
When did you just replay it? You probably played it sooner than I have. I played it last week.
Yeah, I played it this week when we talked about doing this.
Okay. What did you take away from the whole thing? I mean, from the first time you played it, obviously.
I thought it was a masterpiece in its limited scope. I can see why a lot of people won't like this game, but I think as far as having a unique way to tell a story that allows you as the player to set your own pacing and just either you can, if you want to, you can just kind of run through and play, you know, it doesn't, no matter how long you take, it's probably not going to take you more than an hour and a half to beat the whole game. And that's probably if you're taking your time, if you really just kind of go through fast. I think they said that they've done speed runs of like less than a minute, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, if that's your first playthrough though, just gunning through it to see how you can get to the end, I don't think it's the game for you.
Right.
Yeah.
But as far as being a game where you can just, you know, take your time and look, yeah, you're picking up random objects and just, and admittedly also, we, I think, are all more or less the same age and have the same kind of like, the mid-90s kind of flashback is just kind of like at that prime, point for us to kind of go, oh, wow, I remember, you know, these Lisa Frank, you know, binders, or I remember...
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm 17. No, yeah, you're absolutely right. It definitely brought up a lot of things that I hadn't thought about in years, you know, as far as just stuff that you would see around the house or you would have laying around. What my big question for both of you is, how do you think that this succeeded where something like, say, the BioShock series failed in its immersion through left behind artifacts of journals and voice?
I felt
that there was a huge difference in, you know, the natural feel between both of those.
I mean, it's certainly more of a realistic setting. I'm one of those people who is a little more disappointed by the game.
Really?
I think it's a good story. Part of it is I was very frustrated with it because I could not for the life of me get the sensitivity of the controls right. They would either be, I would either be whipping around like crazy or I would be sitting there struggling with my mouse trying to get it to
okay,
focus.
Your mouse. So you played this on the computer?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I don't think there is a console version, unless right. I'm mistaken.
I don't know.
But I mean, like, you know, I kept messing with the sensitivity bar and I just could not get it at a comfortable spot, and it was driving me crazy. So that hurt my immersion a little bit. But ultimately,
I wonder if that has something to do with the fact that most of the first person shooters you play, or the first person perspective games rather, that you play are on console.
It may be. I hadn't adjusted to.
It felt perfectly natural to me.
The PC.
Yeah.
But usually I struggle with it on console, so you would think that using a mouse would be easier for me. I don't know.
Was it too fast for you, or what? I mean, I don't want to dwell on
that. What, you mean the pacing?
Not the pacing. The mouse. Yeah.
It would be one or the other, because there's an adjustment bar. It started off way too sensitive, where it would just be whipping around, and then I...
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So you couldn't find a medium.
I could not find the medium, no. And I ended up going with one that was at least slightly slow, but at least it allowed me to focus on things and select them. But ultimately, I just... You know, it sets itself up as you come home to your house, it's completely deserted, it's a dark and stormy night... I really wanted this game to be scary, and...
There was a quote that I read from the developers that I think summed it up really well. And I think it holds water up until the, you know, the last third of the game. They said if you want a scary experience, you will get a scary experience.
But I wanted it and I didn't get it. If you
want a comforting experience, you will get a comforting experience.
I wanted it and I didn't get it. Nothing scared me.
Well, there were a couple of places where you can hear these ambient sounds in the background. You know, you can hear steps above you, or what sounds like steps above you, and it's just the house settling. Mm. They said that when you're in the basement, you can they actually added whispering sound effects, you know, very subtle, just to creep you out just a little bit.
I don't know, man. I didn't get it. I was worried for my sister toward the end, you know, when it sort of starts to suggest that she may have killed herself.
Right.
But I was never scared. And I want to say, I do think, you know, the voice actress was fantastic.
Of course she was, yeah.
And it is a well-told story. It's just that
I think the game lived and died by the voice actress.
I expected something different than what I got.
Right.
And it disappointed
I really
me.
Wish that you hadn't told me that it was not a horror game. Because I think that ruined a lot of the potential immersion that I could have gotten from it.
Yeah.
And even still, with you telling me it's not a horror game, it's just a story game. And thank you for not spoiling any more than that. But even with you telling that, it was still an unsettling experience, you know, especially the first two thirds of it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
I was gonna say, it's a game that basically for me the mood of it was I kinda kept going back and forth whether I was first. I mean, early on, I had no clue what was. You know, I didn't have a clue whether it was horror, or if it was a drama, or what it was. So for me, I was genuinely like I didn't know what the hell was going on. And so I think that really does help. As far as like the difference between say like you were asking early on, like why does this game work for at least you and me, Jack? For the most part. As opposed to BioShock, and I like BioShock, but yeah, those journals don't really kind of.
The journals when you come across them in the BioShock series, it's like exposition time.
Yeah, and that's all they are. Is they're basically, I mean, and yeah, the Gone Home, they serve the same narrative purpose, but I think part of it is the fact that BioShock is a game. This is a story, and that's their goals are different. BioShock, at the end of the day, you're checking, you know, tape recorders that you just find, you know, while you're in between rounds of killing, you know,
right.
people. Mm-hmm. And Gone Home is about just exploration and learning and all basically absorbing all this information. And yeah, it's some of it's 90s nostalgia porn and some of it's, you know, trying to scare you at least a little bit, but,
You say that, but I was really impressed by how naturally everything was set out for the most part, to where it didn't feel like, you know, okay, well, here's some fan service for you 90s types. You know,
right.
Everything was where it was supposed to be. You know, the Magic Eye posters were where you would probably put those if you were a teenage girl, you know.
Oh, yeah. And and stuff like the Stag magazines underneath the dad's books that are in the
library. I did not find those. I read about them after the fact, but I didn't look through
any
books.
See, I explored every nook and corner in the game.
I think I found those.
But it's stuff like that. It's just like, you know, it's like, and I love the little touches that they do to make it remind you that this is a teenage girl returning home from or maybe early 20s. I don't remember how old the
21 she was 21
that's yeah. right
you're 21 in the game yeah.
And she's just coming home and she's like, you know, she'll look at things like, you know, she'll find like dad's porn mag or whatever and it says gosh
dad
yeah right.
And then she finds the same one in Sam's locker and she says Sam
yeah it's a or she'll find like a condom inside the parents' like dresser, and it's just like ew or whatever. and
then there's a letter that she finds that her sister wrote about, you know, her first lesbian experience, and she just stops reading it and refuses to read it afterwards.
Right.
Like you can't pick it up again.
Yeah, there's a lot of like night, and that was one I didn't discover. That's one of the few things I didn't discover the first time.
I really like those interface touches that game does, and I wish more games did things like that, where they sort of subvert the interface in a way that, you know.
it's a nice hybrid of basically, because you can play the game as yourself. You can, kind of, like I said, you can set the pacing, you can kind of run through it really fast if you want to, or you can kind of sit there and just absorb everything around you. And but every once in a while, it reminds you that you are playing a, you know, a girl looking for her sister. And
right. And I think one of the strongest touches in the entire game that's stuck with me, you know, as far as the game itself, was whenever you go look at the bulletin board and it says, and stop leaving the lights on. You're as bad as your sister.
Yeah, that's a nice one of the few like meta moments, I think, in the game where they're
and
like,
I wonder if they beta tested the game first and realized that nobody was turning the lights off after they turned them on, and that's why they added that.
I mean, it could just be for the logical force of habit. Why are you going to go back and turn the light off? Right. You turn it on so you could see, but logically you're probably not going to go back and turn it off.
But it's like that happened, and I laughed literally out loud because
oh, yeah.
It's just like no kidding. Yeah. Wow. That's a nice touch.
Yeah.
But you brought up an interesting point, an interesting question, rather. And I think it's the obvious question. Is this a game? Do you consider this a game, or do you consider this not a game? And why?
I consider it a story with game elements, because there is game elements in there. Like, you have to find Christmas Duck and move him to get the key to get inside, too. And you have to go and then find the map that holds the secret panels, that way you can get into the locker, and it's stuff like that.
Yeah, there's puzzle solving, that's for sure.
Did you know that good old Christmas Duck has a spot that you're supposed to put him in the attic?
I did know that after I played through the game.
Yeah, same here. I read about it too.
they mentioned in the commentary of you can play through the game in commentary mode. Which I discovered you can, when you start a new game, there's a modifier section that when you start
a new
game.
Oh, it's a new game. Okay.
Yeah. So start up a new game, and it says like modifiers when you start up a new game, and it will allow you to like do things like leave all the doors unlocked or turn all the lights on.
You got yours on Steam, right?
Yes.
And I got mine on GOG.com. And I was wondering, because I didn't see the commentary option, and I was wondering if it was because I got mine for $5, whereas the game normally retails for, what, 18?
I think it's 20 on GOG.
18 or 20.
Yeah, because I remember I was... And I don't think you should pay 20 for this.
It's an extremely deep experience, but it is only about a 90-minute to 2-hour experience. I don't think it's worth $20. And I know a lot of people would disagree with that, and I don't care. It's not.
No, I think I paid 10. I want to say it was a half-off sale, and that's about what I would give it. Yeah. Not much more than that, for sure.
I think that's fair.
A lot of the assets in the game sort of reminded me of a lot of the first 3D art tutorials that I did. You know, especially when you saw so many of these cups, these very simple cups and these 3-ring binders that had nothing in them all throughout the house. So I'm wondering if it's a project that was sort of
spawned. That's what I was going to say. I want to say this started out as kind of like a demo, didn't it?
Yeah. I know that they had the guys who did the guys and ladies who did the Bioshock 2. A lot of the people behind Bioshock 2, Minerva's Den, the add-on content, the DLC, rather, for that game.
Yeah.
Which is which is stronger than Bioshock 2's story, in my opinion.
I haven't played Minerva's Den, but they talk about it a lot in the commentary, where they got some help from some of the people who worked on Bioshock and Deus Ex and some of the other games that they've worked on in the past to kind of help out here or there. But for the most part, I think it was a couple people doing the writing and a few people doing the art and the handful of people for like voice acting and doing bits and pieces here and there, but I think it was a really small team that did this, and you can kind of tell because it's as detailed as it is. There's a lot of things like they were talking in the commentary, like the one thing that they noticed that they couldn't do that realistically should be there is there's no shoes anywhere in the game, because
there's
no
mirrors either.
Because they would if they yeah well.
That at least makes sense.
Yeah, I get that. I get why they did that.
Yeah, and that, but the shoes thing was just that, like, okay, if we did that, we're gonna have to have like 20 pairs of shoes for mom, a couple pairs of shoes for dad, more pairs for Sam, and they're just like, no, we can't do that.
Well, when you've got fucking salad dressing, though, you know, to that level of detail, come on, you can put some shoes in there.
Yeah, that's one of the things. They're like, we just don't have the time or the budget to do
it's not important. Yeah.
No, and it's not at all. But it was one of those things where if they're going to that level where they're saying, because there's things like all the lamps, they have power cords, they go to the walls.
What I really liked, they had that one letter about the house and the wiring, and they said whenever you're on one side, you know, the other side of the wall, sometimes, you know, the light will flicker or go off or something like that. I thought that, and I might be wrong about this, but I noticed that sometimes the lights turned themselves off whenever I would come back to a room after a while. And I thought that if that was an explanation, you know, trying an in-game explanation for the programming oversight, I thought that was a really nice way to do it.
I don't recall ever seeing that.
I saw that letter. I do remember. I mean, I don't know if the lights ever turned off.
It was very, very early in the game. I think it was.
Yeah,
I
do remember
doors.
Seeing the letter. I just don't remember ever seeing lights and off.
See, to me, like, once again, I thought, well, shoot, I'm going to turn on every single light because maybe that means that I'll blow a fuse or something. Like, it made me want to do it on purpose, but.
I might be wrong, but I could swear that some of the lights turned themselves off.
And I guess, like I said, once again, that's what disappointed me about the game, is it was like, oh, there's this electrical wiring in the house. Oh, there's this creepy old dude who made all these secret passages. Oh, your dad kind of went nuts because he hasn't published anything in a long time. Your mom's cheating. Like, they kept adding all of these possibilities that something could have gone horribly wrong. And I felt like it was a cheat that nothing really did.
Well, that was my intent, though.
You know, I know, but I don't like that.
It's more realistic, too. I think it's the fact that, you know...
You always assume the worst.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess.
And in some cases, it was the worst. Like the whole Oscar molesting Terrence thing, which is an extremely... You know, I certainly didn't pick up on the full ramifications of that until I read, you know, a bunch of theories about it, and then saw, you know, different evidence that I hadn't picked up in the actual game. But, you know, yeah, there are a lot of subplots going on in this game.
Yeah, I didn't find that, though, so it didn't really...
No, well, right. I think it's supposed
to invite you to do repeated playthroughs, but I also understand why you wouldn't, and, you know, I didn't. Yeah, because I ended up...
I don't think I got the Oscar thing the first time either. I kind of knew that he had done something that he was feeling guilty over, and to be honest, I just thought it was kind of a repeat of what Sam was going through with, I thought he was gay, and that was the reason why he was a
single. Well, yeah, because you see all the newspapers that are up on the wall, you know, acting as insulation. It's all these women's clothing ads and stuff like that. So that was my assumption. It's like, oh, well, you know, they must have been very homophobic or something. But no, you know, apparently it's this whole thing which ties into, you know, Terrence writing about JFK because that happened the same week that, you know, the abuse happened in that house and everything. But it goes pretty deep with all the different threads, you know, particularly that one, which was really surprising to me after the fact.
So was that hidden in a file cabinet? Like, what? Because I know there was a couple things I couldn't unlock.
There's a lot of things that are between the lines. The fact that the last height chart thing was in 1963, whenever he was visiting for Thanksgiving with his family. There's a bunch of other allusions to it that I can't recall.
But see, that's not enough on its own. There's got to be something specific.
If you go, like, I know if you open up the safe that's in the basement, there's, like, a reference to, like, he's writing to his sister saying, you know, please forgive me. I'm trying to remove myself from temptation.
He sold the ice cream parlor around that time. You see the bill of sale or something like that for that.
Mm. It was a drugstore, but
drugstore. So yeah, they kind of lead you to think that it was maybe a drug addiction too. But there's all these different, you know, tangential evidence that whenever you put them all together. And, you know, the story suggests it. So
it paints a picture, but it doesn't give you the full... I mean, it doesn't... I don't think it ever spells it out and says, this is what
it never does.
Which I actually prefer. I mean, you're not going to get...
Somebody
say, oh, this is, you know, here's my list of, you know, wrongdoings I've done in the past. You know, that's not realistic.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
but
yeah, I thought it was a really well done game. It's got a lot more depth than it seems to at the beginning, and even more than you think after you even finish it. You know, because there's that whole subtext, there's the whole, you know, thing with Ranger Rick or whatever his name was.
The one the mom was cheating with?
Or was she cheating?
Yeah, I was gonna
possibly cheating. You know, I like that they leave a few things ambiguous. You know?
I got the impression that basically they kind of went out onto a concert and then she kind of realized that maybe things are like she's tempted, or maybe she realized that, hey, he's interested and maybe I don't want to be tempted or whatever. But
they leave enough open to where you
possibly changed her mind at the last minute kind of thing.
She talks about how she was like, you know, like, because it's not, I don't think it was that long before this all of a sudden, this couple's retreat that they're going on, that that the concert, the Earth, Wind, and Fire concert, they went to, was supposed to have taken place. So,
or she didn't go to it because the ticket was still in the, or did she go to it? Was that just the stub? I don't recall.
I can't. I thought it was just the stub, but I may be wrong.
No, 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 it doesn't really matter. Fictional people.
Yeah.
But it does matter because we're talking about it.
And when you had posted that, you played it and I was originally, my thought was, well, it was a fun game, but I wouldn't want to play it again. And then we decided that we're going to talk about it for this. And I was like, well, I'll play it again.
The second time?
I enjoyed it. I think I enjoyed it probably maybe even a little bit more, even though I knew what was going to happen. I think I got more of the, I was kind of able to keep the timeline in my head a little bit more, so I could kind of go, okay, because Dad was a writer in the 70s, and then, since then he's just kind of been, writing, technology reviews for like DVD players and stuff, or Laserdisc, I guess, players, and
were you able to see the Magic Eye puzzles this time?
No. I think I'm just one of those people that cannot do those Magic Eye puzzles.
Never gonna see the sailboat, huh?
No.
Or the heart and the dolphin in this case.
Ever since I got contacts, I can't do it anymore. I used to be able to do it by taking my glasses off, but now
maybe
I can't.
You should try that sometime. I don't know.
3 minutes and change and count.
I was going to say, well, we're actually, it's 2:56, so I hate to, I don't know, I feel like if we bring up another game, we're not going to get far enough to discuss it. So, I guess we could technically end a couple minutes early, unless you'll have any final thoughts on Gone Home or PT.
No, it's a good game. It's one that I have your expectations managed when you go into it. You're not going to get like this isn't Myst, this isn't Silent Hill. It's but it is a game that's, it rewards, you for playing it. I think you'll get something out of it. You may not think of it as a game that, oh, I have to play this again, but I think, if you can get it on sale for $10 or less, I think take your time to do it. It's worth it.
Yeah, if you want an experience with depth that will reward you, that's how I'd amend that statement. If you're looking for a game in the traditional sense, not so much.
Yeah. I mean, I will say I did enjoy the exploration, and I think it took me a good 2 hours at least to get through it. Mm-hmm. I liked the music, of all the punk bands that she had run into and listening to that.
I liked about
that,
half
and
of the songs, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I enjoyed, just because the story kind of disappointed me a little bit, doesn't mean I think it was a bad game. I don't like it as much as y'all did, obviously, but it's still definitely worth your time as long as you're into, I guess, I don't know, you can't really entirely call it a visual novel, but
right, no.
It's definitely, it's somewhere more along the lines of exploration, puzzle,
limited interaction exploration. Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, we all three, I think, heartily recommend PT, a game none of us have ever played.
Yes, exactly.
YouTube it.
Just watch the footage faithfully like we have.
It's cheaper.
Way cheaper.
Or if you do have a PS4, go play it. What's wrong with you? Why haven't you yet?
Yeah, go nuts. After you finish swimming in your money bin, go ahead and fire it up. It's free. It's free to download.
So I think that's going to do it for us for the night. Thank y'all for joining us and listening. Not sure when we'll do this again or what the topic will be, but keep an eye out. You can follow this channel, and we will see y'all again soon.
It'll be sometime, and it'll be something.
I think we should just keep talking about PT every week.
Yeah.
Every new little nugget of information that we run into.
It'll be a very PT experience. Repetition.
There you go.
Good night.
Good night, y'all.